God rewards those who diligently seek him. And I believe that when you invest time into hearing God's word and worshiping together, it will produce a harvest of spiritual growth in your life this week after week practice. So I just commend you for that. Today, as we continue our series going through the book of Hebrews, I want to talk to you from this subject of living at rest in the wilderness. The promise of God's rest, living at rest. It's okay, we're okay. The promise of God's rest for living at rest is a promise from God to live with this inner peace or calm no matter what's going on around us, regardless of our situation or our circumstances. See, it's easy to live at rest when life is good. But when we walk through a season of what we'll just call the wilderness, that can test what our inner calm is made of. And camping is a really good example of this. When our kids were young, Kelly and I thought it would be fun to buy a tent and go camping. Well, she thought it would be fun. I knew better. So buying a tent was the fun part. But before we decided to go camping, we thought, let's just do a trial run in our backyard. Let's sleep one night in a tent just to make sure we know what we're getting into. And so we prepared by setting up the tent that day, getting it ready for us to sleep in that tent for the first time overnight. And while we were preparing, Kelly said to me, should I see if I can get an air mattress for you to sleep on? And I was like, does Bear Grylls need an air mattress to sleep on when he's in the wild? Did the pioneers need that? I mean, did our founding fathers who found America, I don't think they needed that. I think I'll be okay for one night sleeping on the ground. That night was the worst night of sleep I have ever had in my entire life. My back hurt so bad the next day. I was so tired. I was grumpy. And if someone would have come to me and said, Matt, you just gotta live at rest in the wilderness, just believe, I probably would have acted in an ungodly way. Because the wilderness will test you. I mean, I couldn't even make it in a suburban neighborhood for one night. The wilderness will test your inner calm. So when we think about the wilderness, just think about what is that exactly? The wilderness represents unfamiliar territory, represents uncertainty. Often it represents interruptions in life. And when we view a wilderness season in our lives, it's one of those that you just want to get through as fast as possible, get to the other side, or avoid it at all costs. But I want to show you today from scripture, from our next passage in the book of Hebrews, that the wilderness can actually be a time where we see what kind of inner calm we can live with. And it all is connected to our faith in Jesus. So I want to go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. And again, as we're going through this book of Hebrews, we're not going through verse by verse. We're going through and pulling out what are the themes and the concepts in here that I believe will help strengthen your faith. So let's start with Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. It says this, God's promise of entering his rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. For this good news that God has prepared this rest has been announced to us just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they did not share the faith of those who listened to God. And then this statement sums it all up. For only we who believe can enter his rest. This rest, this promise of rest is not just a promise for unending vacation days or being free from responsibilities in life. The promise of rest that God has promised is this. It's living with an inner calm through faith in Jesus. Regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstances around us. It's living with an inner calm through faith in Jesus. And so this passage that we read is pointing to the people of Israel who heard about this promise of God's rest, but they didn't believe what they heard. Yet this promise of rest still stands for us today. And it points to our faith connected to our faith in Jesus. See, when you've been united with Christ, when you place your faith in Jesus, you're united with Jesus, you can share in all that belongs to Christ. That's what scripture teaches. You can share in all of the spiritual blessings because of what Jesus did. So as we took communion today, we see that Jesus is the bridge between humanity and God. And because Jesus paid the price on the cross, we can share in all of the spiritual blessings that Jesus made available to us. Amen. We should never take that for granted. And so the promise of rest, this promise of God's rest, this inner calm, you can only experience it when you believe. And there's very sobering in this passage because the writer of Hebrews says there will be some people who fail to experience this rest because they did not believe. And he's reflecting back, pointing to the people of Israel. In fact, we can just go back to Hebrews 3, kind of give some context for what Hebrews 4 is about. Hebrews 3, chapter 3, verse 16 says, "And who was it who rebelled against God, even though they heard his voice? Wasn't it the people Moses led out of Egypt? And who made God angry for 40 years? Wasn't it the people who sinned, whose corpses lay in the wilderness? And to whom was God speaking when he took an oath that they would never enter his rest? Wasn't it the people who disobeyed him? So we see that because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter this rest." Some sobering words there. See, the people of Israel, they were examples to us. What happened to them serves as warnings to us. They wandered around the wilderness for 40 years. Now, I've read the different commentaries that explain from the time they stepped out of the Red Sea, from there till they could enter the land of Canaan, the promised land, that would have been an 11-day journey by foot. And so there's different takes on that. Different commentaries say, you know, can't believe that. You know, they just wasted all of that time in the wilderness. You know, what, so disappointing. They could have been in and out of there in 11 days, but it took them all those years and then they missed out. And I don't know what I think about that take, actually. Because we don't know for sure that it was God's intent for them to just be in the wilderness for 11 days. But here's what we do know. They made God angry because they disobeyed his instruction and they disbelieved his promise. And so you may be in a wilderness season. You may know of someone who's in a wilderness season right now. And it may be very tempting to want to just get through it as fast as possible or just to avoid it at all costs, get to the other side. But I want to give you a different perspective on the wilderness. Reframe the wilderness through the lens of scripture. And I want to give you three lessons I believe we can learn from a wilderness season. So I want to encourage you to write this down. Number one, the wilderness is God's pottery wheel. Have you ever done pottery? You take a lump of clay, mix in a little bit of water, make sure it's, you knead it like dough, make it pliable, and then you take that lump of clay and you put it on a potter's wheel and it begins to spin around and around and around. And a skilled potter will apply just a little bit of pressure onto that clay and begin to form it and shape it and smooth it out and refine it until it becomes, it's transformed and becomes a vessel with a much greater purpose than just a lump of clay. Scripture says that God is the potter and you and I, we are the clay. And God is shaping you and refining you and transforming you to be more like him. He doesn't want you to just stay a lump of clay, but he wants to shape you into the person he wants you to be. I love 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. So we miss that perspective when we're in the wilderness and our eyes just look down and we just feel like we're just going around and around and around day after day, week after week. It's like the daily grind of life. But there's actually a gift in the grind, because in that going around and around and around, God is slowly using what you're going through to change you and to transform you into the person he's created you to be. Because when you have placed your faith in Jesus, the Bible tells us that you are a brand new creation. Old things have gone, all things have become new. You begin to be transformed in the way that you think. You may be in the same situation, but you'll begin to see it differently. The wilderness is God's pottery wheel. But sometimes when you're going around and around and around and it's the daily grind of life, you miss out on the gift because you feel those pressure points. But it's those very pressure points in the everyday that change and shape and are opportunities to transform who you are. We get those every week. I mean, Kelly and I do too. Just this past week, Kelly was making an appointment with our mechanic because we need to replace 4 new tires on our daughter's car. And so she was calling the mechanic to order them ahead of time, and he needed to know the size of these tires so he could order them. And so she texted me in the middle of the day and she said, do you know where to find the size of Alyssa's tires? And I said, yeah, on the tires. And she did not appreciate that response. She said, ha ha, thanks, which is texting back and forth. And I said, I'm just trying to brighten your day. And she said, my day's bright enough. There are opportunities every day to shape and be transformed to be more like Jesus, right? And Kelly should be so thankful. I give her a lot of opportunities to grow and be more like Christ. But what looks like the grind for us, I mean, this is nothing compared to what the wilderness was for the people of Israel. And I have a lot of compassion on the people of Israel. I really do. They were in the wilderness. Their problems were not slow Wi-Fi or central air conditioning went out. They were in the wilderness. It was unfamiliar territory. The basic needs of food and water were in question. They heard God promise a land flowing with milk and honey, and all they saw was a desert. So we say, man, I can't believe they didn't believe God. I want us to just remember what they were picturing, what they were facing. Those who are in unbelief, they will miss out on this blessing, this promise of God's rest. And so when you are in a season of wilderness, you feel like you're going around and around, remember that this may be the very place where God is allowing you to experience things that are not there to break you, but they're there to transform you into the person he's created you to be. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. The wilderness is God's pottery wheel. Number 2, the wilderness is not wasted time. I think about this a lot, but you cannot fast track spiritual wisdom. You can't have instant spiritual growth, instant spiritual maturity. Anything worthwhile in life has a cost. It so often has a cost of time. And when it comes to time, I don't know if you're like me, but for me, I have put so much effort into trying to be so efficient in life. I don't like wasted time. It's one of the reasons why I like to eat microwave popcorn. Really, I don't eat microwave popcorn because it's the best snack. I eat it because it's the most convenient. I mean, when I'm hungry for a snack, I don't think, what could I make right now? It's just like, I want something that's all pre-packaged. I only have to hit one button on our microwave. I can't even imagine if I had to press more than one button. You just have to press one button and then you have it ready to go. So we're conditioned for things to be done in an instant. We're conditioned to want things right away, to fast track. And if we don't get things as done as quickly as I think they should, or it's not making as much progress as fast as I think it should, it's just like, I want to be done with it. It's a waste. Jesus gave us a parable that taught us that good things actually do take time. In Luke chapter 13, I want to go to this short parable, but it's so powerful. Luke 13, start with verse 6. Jesus told this story. A man planted a fig tree in his garden and came again and again to see if there was any fruit on it. But he was always disappointed. Finally, he said to his gardener, I've waited 3 years and there has not been a single fig. Cut it down. It's just taking up space in the garden. The gardener answered, Sir, give it one more chance. Leave it another year and I'll give it special attention and plenty of fertilizer. If we get figs next year, fine. If not, then you can cut it down. I can relate so much to this orchard owner. Right? A tree that's been there for 3 years and didn't produce anything, I would have the same response. Cut that thing down. Just taking up space. 3 years. I mean, imagine doing anything for 3 years and not seeing any progress. Imagine working out and not seeing any change for 3 years. It's time to get a new workout plan or a new trainer. I mean, sometimes I have a hard time waiting for something for 3 days. But this is 3 years. Have you ever dealt with an issue in your life? And you thought, surely by now I would have this resolved. Surely by now I would have gotten out of debt. Surely by now I would have experienced the healing that I've been believing for. Surely by now I would see the dream that God's put in my heart come to pass. 3 years seems like enough time for God to move. I mean, maybe you've been praying for someone to come to Christ for 3 years and you haven't seen any difference. Maybe you've been praying for your marriage to be restored for 3 years and you have not seen any change. Maybe you've been praying for a healing in your body for 3 years and you're still dealing with the same symptoms, same condition. Maybe you've been praying for your teenagers. They've got connected to the wrong crowd, making wrong decisions, and you're praying for them for 3 years, yet you see no change. Have you ever been praying for something for 3 years? You haven't seen a difference, and you've been tempted to give up? In 1999, Worship Center made a decision to build a new church building. We were in the building across the parking lot that was supposed to be a temporary space. I think we were in there for 29 years. So made this decision and in 2001, launched a building project, building campaign. We were growing as a church. We're running out of space. The church and the school were sharing space. So it was time to build a new building. And as soon as we took that step of faith, we stepped right into a wilderness of roadblocks. Zoning issues, other challenges, and what should have been a 2 to 3 year project ended up being an 8 year delay. I remember one time asking Pastor Sam, our founding pastor, who led through that, he's a great visionary pastor and leader. And I said, did you ever feel like giving up through that time? And he said, sometimes I wondered if Jesus would return before we'd ever finish that building project. He said, there were so many times, he said, I would get these thoughts in my head like, just give it up. It's taking way too long. It's never gonna happen. But he said, there was some voice on the inside, this inner calm, the Spirit of God just saying, don't give up. Stay the course. Amen. And And we got in this building in 2010, and here it is, 13 years later, we've been in this building. And you know, that season of the wilderness, I believe, developed a deeper level of faith and trust and clarity of vision and resilience. And here we are 13 years in this building, and we're still growing and still going strong. And I'm so grateful for the people who have gone before us who said they were not going to give up. We get to be in here because of that. So you may be going through a wilderness season, and you may be tempted to give up, and you may be tempted to say, it's not worth it. But when you believe, you mix in faith, and your belief is connected to your faith in Jesus, you can know that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That means that God has given you the ability to be who he created you to be and to do what he created you to be. So I want to encourage you, don't give up on that God-given dream inside of you. Amen. Don't give up on believing God for that healing in your body. Don't give up on your teenagers. Don't give up on that marriage. Don't give up on trying to beat that addiction. God still has a plan for your life. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Amen. This faith in Jesus is where you can find this inner calm. And you know what I've heard calm stand for? Courageously accept life's mysteries. I didn't come up with that on my own. I read that somewhere. I don't know who came up with that. But I love that because life has a lot of mystery about it. The wilderness has a lot of mystery about it. But if there was no mystery, if you take that away and life was just full of certainty, you wouldn't need faith. Instead, God invites us in this journey of being calm, courageously accepting life's mysteries because it's connected to our faith in Jesus. Do you ever hear that phrase, calm seas don't develop skilled sailors? Calm seas don't make skilled sailors. It's the rough seas, it's the storms. That's what's gonna develop you to be able to handle whatever comes your way. That's the inner calm. When you see this phrase, this promise of rest, living at rest, that's what God wants to give you, what to experience, no matter what goes on around you. It's never wasted time. That brings me to number three, the wilderness. The wilderness will tempt you to complain, or it will teach you to be calm. You can read of the Apostle Paul. He wrote a bunch of New Testament letters, and he's always pointing back to the people of Israel. He said, don't grumble like they did. They allowed their discontent to stir up God's anger, and actually their discontent is what destroyed them, many of them. See, complaining is choosing to focus on what God didn't do instead of thanking God for what he promised to do. So when you are in a wilderness season, or you know someone who's going on a wilderness season, it will be so tempting to just focus on what God didn't do, what's not happening. But it is the very moment to begin to thank God for what he promised he would do. So begin to say, God, I thank you for opening doors that no one can shut. I thank you that your blessings last a lifetime. I thank you that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know that you are with me. Begin to put those words in your mouth. And you'll begin to experience this promise of rest. And I want to close with this, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. Kind of wraps this whole idea of God's promise of rest. It says this, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest of God, to know and experience it for ourselves. When I read that, that makes me think of times when I've been so tired, but I can't fall asleep. And it's like, the more I try to fall asleep, the longer I just lay there awake. So sometimes I can look at that and think, so we're trying to make every effort to enter that rest. What does that actually mean? It means beginning to thank God for what he's promised, and it will take some effort. God does his part, but he always has a part for us to play in this. And when you make every effort to enter that rest and experience it, to know and experience it for yourselves, it's so that no one will fall by following the same example of disobedience as those who died in the wilderness. God is giving us a pathway to walk through the wilderness. And I believe when you look back and see how God has transformed you through a wilderness season, even though it's uncomfortable, even though there's a lot of uncertainty, there's a promise of being calm. Amen. Would you bow your heads for a moment? I want to pray for you if you are in a season of wilderness right now. And I sense specifically a wilderness where you need direction, clarity. Or maybe you are fighting an addiction. And you feel like you've tried the same thing over and over and over. Maybe it's an addiction to some kind of substance. Maybe it's an addiction to pornography. Whatever it may be, I believe God can break the chains. Maybe you can identify with the people of Israel and you're going through some hardship of basic needs. Maybe it's not to the level that they didn't know where their food and water were gonna come from, but maybe you have hit some hard times in your life and it's making you question, is God my provider? Where is this God of blessing? So if any of those resonate with you, you're in a wilderness season and it just feels like you're going around the same mountain again and again, I wanna pray for you that God will give you the strength to see your way through. So I just wanna invite you just to lift your hands so I know who I'm praying for. Just lift your hands at your seat if you'd like prayer for this today. Yeah, I see a few hands going up. Just keep it up till I can see you. Thank you for your courage. And so if that's you, I just want you to be in a posture of just receiving. And I wanna pray for you, let's pray. God, I first of all just want to thank you for your word. It's truth, and it's the truth that sets us free. And so, God, I pray for those who may be in a season where they need clarity and direction. Maybe they've just come through a wilderness season of confusion. I pray, God, that you would make their next step clear. Lord, I pray for those who may be dealing with some kind of an addiction. God, I know that in an instant you can break the chains that's holding them back. And so I pray they would be free from going to that substance to find peace and instead going to you to find peace. God, I pray for those who may be praying for something and they've been praying for 3 years and they've been tired and are tired. God, I pray today you would fill them with strength and endurance. They would run and not grow weary, walk and not faint because they have found their strength in you. So I thank you for that. And I pray that you would fill them with this inner calm. Courageously accept life's mysteries because their faith is connected with you. They've placed their faith in Jesus. And so I thank you for that in Jesus' name. We all said, amen, amen. I don't wanna close our time today without giving you an opportunity. If you're here, if you're listening online, and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, I wanna give you that opportunity right now. Throughout this whole service, you've heard the good news of Jesus. And when Jesus invites us to follow him, it's a life-changing decision. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Repent of your sins. Repent of living for your own selfish desires. So it is a complete change of a new direction on your life. What happens after you make that decision, you realize that Jesus has set you free from any bondage that you've been in. And it's not about getting your life right before coming to Jesus. It's actually bringing who you are to Jesus, because he accepts you right where you are. And then he takes you on a journey that will challenge you to grow. That's what we want to do as a church. And so this decision today is not about pulling you out of your situation, but it's actually giving you, Jesus is giving you what you need to face your situation with a new perspective, greatest level of hope and peace and joy and purpose on the other side. And I want you to experience that. So if you're ready to make that decision today, I wanna lead you in a prayer. I'm just gonna invite you to repeat this prayer out loud after me. And I'm gonna invite everyone to pray this just so nobody's praying alone. Would you just say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for me. I believe he rose from the dead for me. Today I repent of my sin, turn from my selfish ways. I choose Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. My old life is gone. A new life has begun today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can all look up. It's the power of the gospel, the only power that can transform someone's life. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or you know you made that decision in a very significant way, I want to invite you to do something that takes a lot of courage. The ushers have a Bible for you. Would you just put your hand up in the air, unashamed of this decision, until an usher sees you and they can give you that Bible? And I want you to know, last week between the two services, we had 18 people make decisions to follow Jesus. And I only say that to you to let you know you're not alone. If you're new to faith, and you may walk around here and look around and think, man, it seems like everybody understands everything except me. We're all growing. This is why I love the local church, because this is a community of faith where you make a decision and then you take your next step. And we all are taking next steps. And so if you made that decision today, I want to invite you after the service to go to the connections room on either side of our auditorium. We have a team of people in there, and they will let you know what your next step is. Because when you make a decision to follow Jesus, your next step is to be water baptized. That's what plants that decision deep in your heart. Because when you do take that physical step of being water baptized, you go down in the water, you identify with Jesus, his death and burial, and then you come up out of the water, you're identifying with his resurrection. And it's this idea that I'm a new creation, being spiritually reborn. And so we want you to take that next step. If you made that decision to follow Jesus, please go to Connections, because they'll help you with your next step in following him. All right, well, are you thankful for God's word today? Kind of really pray that it encourages you and challenges you in your faith. If you need prayer for any reason, we'll have a prayer team down front. Please feel free to come. Maybe you're facing something that seems impossible. God can do the impossible. And if you are new to Worship Center, make sure you stop by Connections as well. We'd love to help you get connected any way that we can. This journey of faith is not meant to be walked alone. All right, I want to invite you to stand, and I just want to send you out with these words. Don't forget, you are God's masterpiece. You've been created on purpose. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Go out this week and passionately pursue the purpose God has in your life. You'll be amazed at what he can do through you. Have a great week. We'll see you here next week.